हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः 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 ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So after this last day of fighting, then the Pandavas were kind of at an advantage, and so then Dhritarashtra is feeling very bad, and you know, it's kind of like, why is it destiny's going against? How is it nothing's happening to the Pandavas? It's all happening to me. Vidura was right, and this is there no way to change this and that? So it's just someone does actions that are told, if you do this action, you'll get this. Then, they say, no, but it might be different, hoping. Then, when they do the action, it comes out exactly as everyone says. And then they lament, oh, as I'm just being forced by destiny, is there no way to change? Why don't you just change your action? But whatever. So having said this, he wanted to know what's going to happen and all that. So then Sanjay said, okay, you know, I can, you know, tell you what's happening. Sanjay sat at the king's feet with his eyes closed. He could see everything occurring on the battlefield in both camps. Visualizing the scene in Duryodhana's tent, he said, listen carefully, O king. I shall describe everything. What is the use of hoping for a victory? You have already been told so many times about the Pandavas' position. Those heroic men live only for Krishna's pleasure, and the universe itself depends on his will. Your sons are wicked and have perpetuated numerous ills upon their cousins. Now they are reaping the bitter fruits. Sanjay then continued his description of the battle. So now this is back to the battlefield, and this is after the day's battle, and so in the evening when they go back to the tents. Duryodhana entered his tent with a heavy heart. Tens of thousands of his troops lay dead on the battlefield, and Bhima had killed 14 of his brothers. Tears of grief and frustration ran down his face as he took a seat amongst his counselors. Turning to Bhishma, he spoke in a voice laden with sorrow. O grandsire, on my side I have you, Drona, Shalya, Kripa, Kritavarma, Ashwatthama, and many other warriors incapable of being defeated. All of you are ready to lay down your lives for my sake. Our numbers are far superior to that of the Pandavas. In such circumstances, I cannot understand how we can be suffering at their hands. How is it, O hero, that we are being overcome? What is the secret of their success? It's been told a million times. They're devotees, but yeah. Bhishma, laying his silver helmet by his side, turned and looked at Duryodhana. O king, I will explain once again why we cannot defeat the Pandavas. For your own good, you have repeatedly been counseled to seek peace with them. You have chosen to ignore these instructions. Therefore, you will have to suffer, as all your counselors predicted. I have cried myself, hoarse, trying to make you see sense. What more do you want me to say? However, because I desire your welfare and the welfare of your brothers, I shall try one more time. Bhishma felt his compassion stir for the grieving Duryodhana, because they're all his nephews, so that's the point, is that he has compassion for both Duryodhana and the Pandavas. He just wants them to get along, because the Pandavas' position is correct. So if Duryodhana would just assist, you know, in the running of the kingdom under Yudhishthira's direction, as the other four Pandava brothers will assist Yudhishthira, then it will all work very nicely. You know, or if it had been Karna could accept his position, then he'd be the king, and Yudhishthira and the other, so the six Pandavas, so then five Pandavas, then would assist him, and then Duryodhana and his brothers would also assist. In any case, even if Duryodhana, his 100 brothers assist him, he can't tolerate assisting anybody. His brothers are not complaining, they're already assisting him. Bhishma felt his compassion stir for the grieving Duryodhana, who sat weeping as he remembered his brothers, relatives, and friends who had died for him. Although the prince had always scorned his well-wisher's advice, Bhishma hoped that his misery would make him more receptive. The Kuru commander waited until he had the attention of all the kings present, then he spoke in a loud voice. O king, lord of the earth, there was not, is not, and never will be any person who can slay the Pandavas while Krishna protects them. I will describe to you an ancient history that I heard while I resided in heaven with my mother. Once Brahma was sitting in his assembly with the gods. At that time, the earth goddess Bhumi came to him crying. She said she was afflicted by the sinful acts of the demons and the Danavas, all of whom had taken birth on earth. Thus she sought the shelter of the unborn creator. O my lord, she prayed, all the mighty and wicked Daityas and Danavas, whom the gods slew in battle, have now appeared on earth as kings and warriors. I can no longer bear the burden of such cruel men, who rape and plunder my resources for their own selfish pleasure. Feeling compassion for Bhumi, Brahma, accompanied by the gods, went at once to the limitless milk ocean, where the inconceivable Vishnu lies. After offering prayers to the Supreme Personality, he told him of the earth's plight. Brahma then heard Vishnu speak to him from within his heart, where the Lord ever resides as the supersoul of all beings. The Lord told him that he would soon appear on earth to destroy the demons. His personal servants would incarnate along with him. All the gods should expand themselves by the mystic power and take birth on earth. Assisted by all of them, the Lord would execute his divine plan for saving the earth. Bhishma paused and looked at Duryodhana. He knew the Kaurava cared little for histories, although he was prepared to accept that Vishnu was a powerful being who acted for the gods' good. Duryodhana could not accept Vishnu's identity as the Supreme Lord. He just sees him as a more powerful demigod who kind of works for them, or even he's not powerful, he just works for their pleasure. Duryodhana was not a religious man in that sense. Despite performing his religious duty as a Kshatriya, he had no concept of serving and pleasing a god who controlled everything. Right, so here you can say, as nobody's religious, why doesn't he know that? Because religion means the inherent nature of something. So he follows the inherent nature of artha. You know, means he uses dharma because it gets artha. So he's using it on the external platform or the subtle platform of distinction, adoration, and profit. He's not using dharma for enlightening the soul. He's not using it for elevating the soul. He's using it for elevating his gross body and subtle body. So he's only doing the dharma of the gross body and subtle body. He's not doing dharma of soul. So if you do dharma, apply the dharma of the soul, then you realize God. But if you apply the dharma of the body and mind, then all you're going to do get is an improvement in that area. But in this context, because not only is he's using dharma for artha, so he's more an artha, he specifically applies niti. Niti means the immediate, ethics. In other words, what is the thing to do right now to get profit out of this situation? I'm not looking at how that situation is in connection with other bigger situations. I only look at what's right now. Like, I'm sitting here, and there's a pile of sandesh, and, so how could I get the best benefit out of this? Right? And so then by niti, no one else is around, I'll eat it all. Or someone else is there, but I'll ask him if he could go get something so no one will be here, then I'll eat. But I'm not realizing that this is a table set for all of the friends to eat, as I'm eating all the sandesh for everybody that was meant for everybody. I don't look that big. That's a bigger... So in other words, the dharma means body, mind, and words engaged for fruitive gain. So the mental, the physical, the senses, all those qualities improve. But it's in balance so that you can actually continue to elevate you. Artha then is not going against the shastras, but I'm looking more at the profit side of dharma rather than dharma itself. Niti, I'm looking for the immediate profit. I'm not seeing the bigger picture. So Duryodhana, when it comes to the Pandavas, he can only see a niti, the smallest picture at all. And he doesn't see how it's working. So that's the problem. Bhishma is lamenting from that case because he tells him what's going on. But he can't hear it because his vision is so narrow. Because otherwise you can say, oh, but he's performing dharma. But this dharma is only in the context of the mundane situation. He's not looking at the soul. Despite performing his religious duty as a Kshatriya, he had no concept of serving and pleasing a god who controlled everything. He believed in his own power. Now, in a moment of distress, where it was obvious that his power was limited, Bhishma hoped to find his mind more open. He went on addressing the grieving prince. The eternal and indestructible Lord Vishnu has now appeared as Krishna. Indeed, it is Krishna who is the source of Vishnu. There is no difference between the two personalities. O Duryodhana, you have already heard that Krishna and Arjuna are the two ancient rishis, Narayana and Nara. Know too that the many kings and kshatriyas fighting with them are expansions of the gods. The Pandavas themselves are all former Indras from different ages. Through them, Krishna will execute his divine plan to kill the demons who have amassed as your army. Right, so he's speaking very direct here. O King, Krishna's will is infallible. He is the supreme mystery, the supreme shelter, and the supreme glory. Do not disregard him, thinking him an ordinary man. You should worship that undeteriorating being of endless energies. The wise say that one who thinks Krishna an ordinary man is a fool and a sinner. Bhishma stopped and Duryodhana sat in thought. It was hard to accept that Krishna was the all-powerful supreme being. Certainly he was an extraordinarily powerful person, but God? Could any being lay claim to possessing such power? Right? Because generally when you have like this, they're atheistic, the best they can do is that it's this undistinguishable force. You know, you might put a form to it, but much of the time they think that that's just imagination, because we have this form, so we make God like a, you know, we say we make God in the form of man, but actually it's the other way around. Man is made in the form of God. God has this form, and he makes man like this. Some great force or power lay beyond everything, that was sure, but how could it be a person? And how could that person be Krishna, who has sided with his foes, right? Because otherwise God would side on his side, because Duryodhana is so fabulous. Of course God didn't want to be with on Duryodhana's side. After all, was he, Duryodhana, the king of the Kurus, really an irreligious person? Everyone condemned him as such. But he had always done his duty and tried to rule the people with justice, right? So the Kshatriya duty, he's doing nicely. But the problem is that when it comes to things bigger, that he doesn't do. He can't see above that. It means he's doing his Kshatriya duty nicely because that gives him the position and it goes smoothly. I guess he doesn't do it nicely, then the people aren't properly protected. They go crazy and do all kinds of nutty stuff, and that makes his work more. Well, if he puts in a solid work and does his duties, then the people are protected, and then everything runs smoothly. So in other words, it's always going to be balanced. You put in your work, the people are you know, do everything, it runs nicely. Nobody tries to do things that are going to mess up the system. You do less work, right, then they're going to do less of their duties, and so it's more chaos. So the other thing is you have to put in the work. People look for, how can I do no work and get a solution? No, you have to do your full work, and then the people will match that. If there was a God, why should he be antagonistic towards him, right, to Duryodhana? But if Krishna was God, it would certainly explain why the Pandavas proved so difficult to overpower. Why, though, was he favoring Pandu's sons? Duryodhana took a deep breath. Tell me more about Krishna, he asked, his voice unusually subdued. I always hear him spoken of as the highest being. O grandsire, I desire to know all about his position and his glory. Bhishma then described Krishna's opulence as he had heard of it from Narada, Vyas, Markandeya, and Parasaram. All these wise sages accept Krishna's divinity. They consider him the master and sustainer of all beings. He is everyone's well-wisher and friend, but you do not see him as such, O King. For this reason, I consider you to be a Rakshasa of wicked mind and heart. You are immense, immersed in ignorance, absorbed only in thoughts of selfish happiness. Thus you cannot know Krishna. Only those free from lust, greed, and anger, and those who realize themselves to be his eternal servants can know him. O King, try to see things in this way, for that alone will lead to everlasting happiness. Make peace and live happily with your cousins. You cannot win this war. Your enmity towards Krishna and the Pandavas will result only in suffering and defeat. Hearing Bhishma speak at length about Krishna, many of the kings surrounding Duryodhana began to regard the Yadava as the supreme person. Even Duryodhana began to wonder, right? Because here you're hearing from Bhishma, who's a Mahajana, so he's an Uttamadikari. So they can change the heart of even, you know, the most stubborn people. But at the same time, it's still free will. They can bring you to the point where you start to think, or like that, but you still have to make the step. Making the step, Krishna will reciprocate that, the Vaishnavas will reciprocate. like that. So anybody could get him to appreciate that would be Bhishma or Bidura, because they're both the Mahajanas. Perhaps Krishna was something more than just a man. Maybe he was even higher than a celestial. Because right? Otherwise he feels, okay, he's a powerful, just like Indra is more powerful than the others, maybe Vishnu is more powerful than Indra, but he only saw a maximum at that level. But the main problem was is he wasn't supporting Duryodhana. So Duryodhana didn't think that, you know, I'm doing my duties, why doesn't he take care of me? But it was too late to turn back from the fight now. Whoever Krishna was, the Pandavas were Duryodhana's enemies. He would give them nothing. If they wanted the kingdom, they would have to fight for it. Even if their army was comprised of expansion of the gods, his forces would be empowered by the Danavas, right? Because the Danavas had come before and told him, don't worry, we're going to be there, we're going to be helping you. Whose power was equal to that of the gods. It may be, on one sense, you could say equal, but at the same time, since the universal affairs means it's run by the demigods, that means it's always going to come out ultimately in favor of the demigods. There may be some time where the demigods can't defeat the demons, but in the end of the day, it will always, the demigods will win, because that's the universal order. Duryodhana dismissed the assembly and went to bed. Before lying down to sleep, he bowed down to Krishna. The Yadava hero was actually the supreme, then it would do no harm to offer him some respect. Perhaps, the prince thought, his own fortunes might change. Lying on his white, milk-white silk sheets, Duryodhana then slept fitfully. So, we even see here, so he's got his bed, he's got his, you know, white, you know, silk sheets, and this is on the battlefield. So, the facilities of human life are so much better. As if you only fight in the day and you fight, you have your area to fight within, and you fight. And then, you know, whoever, it's just like a boxing ring. You only fight inside, they don't go out and fight where the people are, they fight in the boxing ring. And when they're out of the boxing ring, then they might be friends, they might not be friends, they'll talk to others and this and that. So it's the same kind of principle. So if that's there, then you can have all the facility. You set up their your camp, they set up their camp, and then you fight. You know, it's also much quicker, everything's done, doesn't drag it out. And, you know. As the sun rose on the fifth day, the two armies again rushed at one another. The warrior slain the previous day had been left to lie on a hero's bed for one night, then cremated at dawn, leaving the field clear for the day's action. Right, because the hero's bed, because they fell on the battlefield. Because we remember the Pandavas, Yudhishthira said after that battle with the Trikartas, right, they would stay the night. Yeah. So that's the warrior's place. Worked up with fury of battle, the opposing troops again slaughtered one another. The killing did not end at any time throughout the day. You know, it's not like the whistle blows and it's time for lunch, they pull out the lunch boxes, sit down, and, you know, share lunches. They do that at night. But the day, sunrise to sunset, you know, 12 hours, you know. So you can see why Kshatriyas do this. You know, no one else would be able to show. Arjuna showed his incomparable prowess as he moved about the field, the Gandiva bow resembling flashes of lightning as he released innumerable arrows on all sides. Other great fighters such as Abhimanyu, Bhima, the twins, Satyaki, and Yudhishthira also created havoc among the Kauravas. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.